This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 107. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on
mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
And you can phone us on
020-88-167-691.
I'm David Hinchliffe.
And I'm Berners.
Well, Berners, it's a testament to our prediction abilities that last week we predicted England all the way to the World Cup final and raising the trophy aloft, Andrew Strauss raising the trophy aloft, and they were knocked out in the quarterfinals immediately after that. So what does that say about us?
I don't know. Knocked out. That's quite polite. I mean, God, blimey. That was a raping, wasn't it? 230 odd for none. Schoolboy stuff. Schoolboy stuff.
Well, you could politely say that we came second.
Yeah. Look in the book is one of those. That's the best place for that game, I think. Look in the book. It will tell you a pretty wide and open story.
We're going to gloss over that quickly and pretend that we knew that it was going to happen all along and move on, because we've got plenty going on the show this week, so much so that we're not going to have a question section this week. But do bear in mind that we still want your questions. So listen to the end of the show where you can we will tell you how you can get in touch with us and win a prize, which is a coaching course, an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. But none of that this week. This week we've got several interviews, including the final part of our World Cup diary with Pete Johnston. That's going to be interesting to see not only what Pete thought about the Irish World Cup campaign as a whole, but also what happens next in Irish cricket, which is it's a very interesting time for them. So it's good to get the view from the top there. We've got Ewan Chalmers, who plays for the Pitch Vision Academy adopted club for the British summer, Watsonian. And he's a young player, a young batsman who's just breaking into the Scottish team. So if you want to know how someone who's still a student but just on the brink of playing international cricket gets things done, then listen out for that. And we've got a little bit of a treat. We've got the lovely Stacey Harris, an interview I did with her about the book that she has written for women about cricket to get a few more women into cricket so she can take some more girls to her Glamorgan matches across the summer. And she's got some interesting ideas about how to get more women into cricket. So we'll be talking to Stacey in an interview that I pre-recorded very nicely in the pub just down the road from me with Stacey. So that was my favourite part of the week. And Berners, Pitch Vision have got quite a big event going on. So people who are in and around the London area might be quite interested in this. So what's happening on Sunday?
Yep, so Sunday the 3rd, 11 till 3 p.m. we're going to be down at Play On Sports down in Canary Wharf, where we're going to be representing England, Team England, in our online World Cup. So the opportunity to go head-to-head with players in varying geographic locations around the world, but the obvious cricketing locations, India, Pakistan, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, just to name a few that will be taking part on Sunday. Come down and have a go.
So if you can get yourself to Canary Wharf on Sunday, that's the 3rd of April. That's Mother's Day in the UK, so that's not going to be a problem. No mother is going to mind that, because if someone says, I've got you some flowers, but I'm off to play for my country, that's fine. So if you listen to this before Sunday, then get yourself, and you're in the area and you can get yourself to Canary Wharf, then get yourself down there, represent your country in the Pitch Vision World Cup. Well, sometimes I wish that all my interviews could be performed in this location, because we are in a pub 5 minutes from my house, which is a very nice change considering the people that we've interviewed have been all around the world for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. But today somebody a little bit closer to home. It's Stacey Harris, the author of Point to Fine Leg, which is an ebook which is currently available on Pitch Vision Academy. And if you're interested in getting a copy of that, you can head to pitchvision.com/academy. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Dave.
So tell us a little bit about your ebook, Point to Fine Leg.
Well, basically, it's a cricket book aimed at getting the modern woman into cricket. Because don't you find you go to cricket grounds and you don't see enough women there under the age of 60?
Yeah, well, some grounds you go to, you don't see any women at all. Most of the games I play, you don't see any people.
Exactly. I plan to change that. Basically, I was just sick of going to cricket grounds and just being the only one there on the boundary has just got a bit lonely and sad, really. So I thought, hey, I'm going to write a book. Try and get girls interested, show them the lighter side of cricket, you know?
So what is it about cricket that you think would attract the modern woman?
Well, I'm just going to talk about how it attracts me, really. When I first saw it and fell in love with the game, I got attracted to the passion it's played with. You just get so involved, you know, you get involved with the players and it's just so, it can be a really exciting game, you know, with the fours and the sixes, and the atmosphere at a cricket match is amazing. In my book, I try to push the 2020 atmosphere, you know, to the girls. I say, pop along to one of those matches, ease yourself in, because it can get a bit boring at a test match if you don't know the rules on that.
One of the things that I have said about cricket for a long time is when you're going to a cricket match, be it a village game or a test match, when you're going to a cricket match, watching the cricket is almost peripheral to going to the cricket.
That's a very good way of putting it, actually. It's almost like a separate entity. I remember one example. I took my cousin, who has absolutely no interest in cricket. I took her to a 2020 match last year. She didn't know what was going on the pitch because, you know, she hadn't read my book. But she loved it to her. It was a party atmosphere. You know, you got the music and the dancing, the swimming pools, and it's just it's a sport in itself on the boundary.
And you spend most of your time watching professionals play the test matches, the county games at Glamorgan. What about village and club cricket? Have you ever been to any club games?
I have, yes. I think, you know, you should support your local cricketers. I've been to see a couple of local clubs play, actually. You got to ease yourself into the game. It's a good atmosphere, and especially if you know someone who's playing. And if you go to see a club game, chances are, you know, your boyfriend, your husband, your next-door neighbour is playing. You can get more involved that way. So I urge people to do that at first.
Most of the people listening to this will not be women, they'll be men. Some of them will have wives and girlfriends. So what would you say to guys listening to that who want to get their other halves a bit more involved in their playing cricket? What should they say to them?
Well, they need to try and explain to them, you know, there's more to cricket than just cricket. You've got to get across the finer things. You know, they can sit in the sun, they can drink the cocktails, and yet enjoy the game. I think the biggest thing for women is they're afraid of the rules. They're not going to know what's going on. The scoring can be a bit baffling, and that's what my book explains. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm comparing batsmen like number three, number five to film stars. You know, you got to put it in our language.
Have you had a go at playing yourself? Because this is mainly a podcast about playing and coaching cricket. So have you had a go yourself?
I have, yes. I used to be a primary school teacher and I used to coach under 11s in various schools, and a couple of them went on to play for West Glamorgan, which is, you know, it's a really good feeling. I've never played in a team myself, but you know, I think I've watched so much cricket and I've read so many cricket books. I think I'm pretty qualified to coach a children's team, you know. I do bowl a mean fastball, though.
Well, maybe that's your next challenge, to take the under-9s all the way to the Quick Cricket Championships.
Easy.
And we're recording this on the second day of the start of the English, or I should say the British summer, because we've got to include England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland in that now.
Yes, don't forget.
So what are your plans for the summer off the back of the huge number of sales of your book?
Oh, huge number of sales. I like your positive thinking, Dave. I'm just going to basically go and watch as much cricket as I can. I got some road trips planned. I'm going to get the girls to buy my book, get them to read it and enjoy it so they finally understand the beautiful game of cricket. And then maybe get some, get some trips going up to Edgbaston, up to Lords. Get the girls into it. That's pretty much what I'm going to dedicate my summer to.
And of course, you'll be going to Glamorgan. I would imagine there's plenty of games just down the road for you.
Oh, of course. And every now and again, they come to St. Helens, beautiful, most beautiful ground in Britain, possibly the world, which is a lot easier for me. But no, I'm willing to travel. I'll go to Cardiff to watch my boys play. Hopefully, have a better season, less unrest, less politics involved, just outright good playing,
And just finally, if there's anyone listening who wants to get a book as a present for his wife or girlfriend, or if there's any ladies listening and they want to know a little bit more about cricket, what do they need to do to get your book?
Now then, there's two ways. You can go straight on the Pitch Vision website on pitchvision.com, or you can go straight to my website, which is www.point2fineleg, that's with a number two, .wordpress.com. On there, you'll find a lot of my blogs where I blog about cricket and all things female can be enjoyed by men, and I think men will enjoy it because they can get into the female brain. I'll give you a heads up to what we're thinking half the time. On the right of the screen on there, you can see exactly how to buy my book. It's just easy to follow instructions, really, and it's £7. And if you want to, like me, get the other 3 billion people in the world to go and watch you play, go and check out my website and buy the book.
And we'll also put a link to that in the show notes of this week. So if you are listening to this online, if you go to pitchvision.com, you'll be able to see the link in the show notes to make it nice and easy to get hold of. Thank you very much, Stacey. And hopefully it'll be a fantastic summer for England and for Glamorgan and for your book.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Great. Cheers.
It's time for the final instalment of our World Cup diary from Irish cricket analyst Pete Johnston. And Pete is back at the home of cricket, and by that, of course, I mean in Dublin.
Yeah. Hi, how's it going, David?
It's good. How's it feel to be at home, Pete?
It's good to be home. Just adjusting from being away. Obviously, it's very different. We've a couple of weeks off, just relaxing. So that's been good.
So let's have a look at the campaign as a whole now. You've sort of back on terra firma, if you like. How do you feel that it went overall from the analyst chair?
Yeah, I think it went very well. I always said I wanted us to, I think at the start, to perform in every game and that we'd be more consistent than we were in 2007. And I think that's the way it ended up. Probably the batting against South Africa was the one disappointment in there. But we kept in a number of the games, Bangladesh, West Indies, and even at one stage against India, we kept putting ourselves in winning positions. And obviously we got the two wins against Holland and England, which was massive for Irish cricket. But we were more consistent and performed well overall. Fitness levels were good. The fielding was outstanding. And we played some good cricket. Obviously, in hindsight, you look back at maybe some missed opportunities that might have taken us to the quarterfinals. But overall, very happy. And I think beating England was a very big thing for Irish cricket because it was front page news. And hopefully that can be built on now and the success can get more people playing cricket over here.
How do you build on success like that? Because there was a definite move from the 2007 World Cup to this World Cup where, there was definitely a step up in quality in the Irish team. And that's saying something considering how well Ireland did in 2007 World Cup. So where can you go from here in the next 4 year period?
Well, I think it's developing everything around the team. I think, in the last 4 years, there's been a big focus being put on the senior team. And we've now got, obviously, 13 of the 15 guys playing professional cricket. And we've got home-based contracts as well. We've also got good support, strength and conditioning support, specialist coaches come and go. So we have a good infrastructure around the senior team now. So I suppose now we're in a better position to start to look down the underage teams, and just the general sort of infrastructure of cricket all the way down, and get sort of build that depth below the team. And I think success will help that. I think more people will play, you know, because the team have been successful. And now, the next step now is probably to put a strong emphasis on our A side and underage teams and make sure they get quality cricket, and push themselves probably to a higher level.
So what is this summer going to look like? It's kind of the morning after the night before almost, is it? You've had the big party, you know, and now it's time to clean up. So what does that look like? What does that look like for the Irish team over the summer?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, myself and Phil probably have to sit down and review what we've done. It's, you know, the amount of games we played, it'll be nice to look back at it and see where we need to focus our attention and what our strong points have been and what we need to work on. And then once all that's done and we've reviewed everything and start to work with the players again, we have two big games against Pakistan at the end of May. And then we play Scotland and Sri Lanka in a tri-series. It'll only be one game against Sri Lanka, one game against Scotland. And then we've obviously a big game against England, which is here in Dublin in August. So, you know, there's four or five big games in there that we're looking forward to, and more good opportunities for us to prove ourselves.
How do you, when you've had a big campaign and a successful campaign like you've had, how do you keep the momentum going when you know that there's more big games coming up?
I think it'll be very easy. I think, you know, the guys will be ready to get back into it. They'll obviously start, the ones based in Ireland will start playing club cricket. And it's nice to have the high profile games like Pakistan and Sri Lanka and England to look forward to. So I think it'll be very easy to for the guys to keep going after these couple of weeks. I don't think you need any more time than that to relax. And I think everyone will be itching to get back into it, really. Change of scenery as well, being back home, home conditions, and everyone will be keen to get out there.
How much club cricket will the senior players be playing?
Maybe nine of the guys based in Ireland will be playing club cricket up until the point that we need them at the end of the May, really, for those Pakistan games. It probably will be some A-team cricket as well. Haven't looked too in detail at the schedule yet. I think that may come later in the summer. So, yeah, they'll go back and play for their clubs, and it'll be good for club cricket in Ireland to have them perhaps more regularly this season than they have had in the past. And I think it's good for league cricket in general, for them to come back and like I said, to pass things down to, you know, everyone in the club, and so things filter down that way.
So the senior players, even though they get taken away a lot, they're still heavily involved in their clubs?
Yeah, the ones based in Ireland, obviously, and then we've a number of guys playing county cricket as well. But yeah, the guys are heavily involved in their clubs. That's their bread and butter over here. And, you know, that's the way I presume it'll stay for a while, unless we get more opportunities and more funding, perhaps joining the future tours with the ICC. That's the way it'll be for a while. So it's making the most of those of the club cricket, which isn't too bad a standard at the moment.
So, and this is a very difficult question for anyone to answer, but especially considering the plans that are floating around to not have any associate nations in the World Cup. But where do you see Irish cricket around the time of the next World Cup?
I'd love to see us given more opportunity, more games, playing more one-day cricket. A lot of people will say, are you ready for Test cricket or are you not ready for Test cricket? And my answer would be that, yes, we'd have a lot to learn, but you'd like to think that we, you know, given we've made the most of any opportunity we've been given so far, if we were given the opportunity to play Test cricket and the funding was increased, that I'm sure we'd make the most of it and build an infrastructure here in Ireland whereby you maybe had, you know, four provincial teams playing professional or semi-professional cricket and playing perhaps a four-day competition, a 2020, a one-day competition. So, I mean, that's where I'd like to see us in 4 years. And if that was the case, I think we would make the opportunity of it and start to play good test cricket. But obviously the focus, first of all, has to be on one-day cricket and continuing to get what opportunities ICC can give us. And obviously we've a couple of good games against Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and then England this summer. So we'll just look to keep knocking on that door, really, and hopefully earn the right to get more opportunities. And hopefully in 4 years' time, we'll be touring far more regularly and playing series of games against the big countries.
Well, Pete, it's been really good to get your insight into the way that a cricket team works during a big tournament like the World Cup. So thank you very much for your time, and we all at Pitch Vision Academy wish the Irish team the best of luck as they move forward towards their goal of eventually playing Test cricket.
Yeah, no, and thank you very much. And now we're back home. We're obviously looking forward to using the Pitch Vision equipment and having some fun with that. Get the guys working hard and set some new challenges with Pitch Vision, and obviously keep everyone motivated and work on our skills.
If you were listening to the show last week, you'll remember that we on Pitch Vision Academy adopted a cricket club for the British summer, and that club is Watsonian CC in Edinburgh. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking to some of the various players and coaches and officials in the club, like we did last week with the president, Ross Brooks. And this week, it's the turn of middle order batsman Ewan Chalmers. So let's talk a little bit about things from the players' point of view. How long have you been at the club?
Well, I was originally at the school, George Watson's College, which is associated with the club. So I suppose I started off with the club playing at under 13 level, and then I made my debut for the first 11 when I was 15. So I'm now into my sixth season-ish, I think, with the first 11.
So you're very much part of the DNA of the club. What would, just talking personally for a second, we're just sort of coming up to the start of pre-season matches now, and it's only a few weeks away from the first league game. What are your aims for the season coming up?
I'm kind of looking. I've had a few caps for the national team, so I'll be looking personally to try and cement a place in that team. And I suppose the way to do that is to perform in club cricket for Watsonians.
A lot of people listening to this will be thinking to themselves, well, here's someone at the top of the club game, someone who's doing well. How does he balance out his training when he's not a full-time professional? So what do you do? What compromises do you have to make, or how hard do you have to practice to keep yourself in the right frame of mind and the right form for making the step up?
Yeah, I mean it's difficult. I'm at university at the moment, which is I'm in my last year, so it's been pretty busy of late, and I suppose a lot of my contemporaries and things have been jetting off to Australia and these types of places to go and play cricket. So I always kind of set it out in my mind that I had to try and keep up with these guys who were, you know, effectively professionals. And to do that, I suppose I've had to make sacrifices and sacrifice, you know, a bit of free time here and there. And I've spent a lot of time driving to and from Edinburgh to train during the winter. And again, you know, driving in the summer to train at the club and play for the club. And play these games. So it's been difficult, but a bit of sacrifice here and there goes a long way.
So thinking ahead to the summer when the season's in full flow, what would a typical week be like for you in terms of how much you're playing and how much you're training?
Yeah, well, the last few years I've tended just to focus on the cricket during the summer. You know, having uni in the winter, I've just gone for the cricket in the summer, and I've been part of kind of National Academy underage side, so a typical week we'd maybe have, obviously depending on whether we had midweek games, but you'd usually train maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with the national setup, as well as club training in the evenings. And then I'd usually have a club game on a Saturday, and then possibly an academy game on the Sunday. But obviously, every other week you've got kind of maybe 3 day games down south, or 1 day games, whatever really. So it varies, but it's pretty full on in the summer.
And thinking about sort of the peripheral stuff as well, the fitness and the mental side, the stuff that maybe isn't directly related to playing. How do you fit all that in during such a busy period?
Yeah, obviously during the winter there's a bit more time to focus on the fitness, so I try to get a good base level of fitness built up in the winter at uni, and then in the summer it's a case of trying to maintain that and just, you know, get to the gym when you can. You don't need to go over the top in the summer because you've got games just around the corner all the time really. And then, yeah, the mental side certainly been very important for me the last few years, and I've kind of realised the importance of trying to get away from the game every so often and chill out a little and kind of refresh the batteries every so often to make sure you're ready to go when you need to be.
So you can have a case where you're playing too much.
I think so, yeah. I would have thought most people would have experienced it at some point, but certainly there are times where you just feel a bit, you know, a bit drained out with the whole thing, particularly if it's not going well, I suppose. But yeah, there are times where you just feel like you need to get away from it for a few days and just refresh the batteries.
Speaking of the mental side of it, how important do you rate the mental side of the game at the level that you're playing?
Yeah, massively. I didn't, if I'm being honest, I probably didn't recognise it until maybe the last couple of years and really recognise the importance of it. But it's just massive. You hear people saying, "Oh, it's 90% of the." 90% of the battle is the mental side, and to be honest, I think it's true. You know, that you see guys, every cricket player's got faults in their technique and you know, differences between them, but it's the guys that are really kind of mentally strong that seem to get to the highest level, so it's a massive part of it.
And what do you do personally to improve your mental strength? Is there anything you can do, or is it just a matter of playing until you kind of get it?
Yeah, I mean, with the national setup, I've spoken to a few psychologists here and there, which can help just, you know, developing mental routines, these types of things. But I suppose the biggest thing is to kind of take confidence from your training and build up, you know, if you're confident in your technique and confident in what you've done, then I think that goes a long way to improving your mental strength when you get out into a match situation. So just taking confidence from training that you've done and working hard, really.
All right, and I've got to ask, because we've done some player profiles on the side this week, and Ross, the club president, sent through a profile of you, which gave you an interesting nickname. Is it an interesting nickname? What's the story behind your nickname?
Yeah, the nickname is Chubby, which I've had since I was about 8 years old, I think. It originated from me having chubby cheeks. So, yeah, people tend to just think I'm fat, but I like to think keep fit, but it came from the chubby cheeks when I was a youngster, so, and it's stuck ever since.
That's the thing about nicknames, isn't it? You can't, you've got no control over them. You've just got to go with whatever people call you and put up with it, even if you're not 100% behind the nickname itself.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Ewan. Interesting insight into how a talented player still playing in club cricket balances things out.
Yeah, no problem. Hopefully that's of some interest to somebody.
And yeah, good luck for the coming season. We'll all be keeping a close eye on you and your teammates over the British summer.
Good stuff. Cheers.
That's the end of the show, and as we said right at the top, we didn't have time for a question section this week. There was too much going on with all the interviews, but hopefully you've got plenty of information from what we've been talking about on the show this week. We do still want your questions though, because there is a chance for you to win a prize when we answer them. What is that prize, Berners? Just remind me.
The prize is a free course from Pitch Vision.
That's right, it's an online course. It's Pitch Vision Academy's online coaching, which is videos, worksheets, and lots of drills and exciting things to help you improve any aspect of your game. So, Berners, if you want to get in touch with a cricket coaching question, what would you need to do?
You need to drop us an email at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com or give us a quick call on 020-88-167-691.
And don't forget as well, this week, if you're listening to the show before Sunday, the 3rd of April 2011, you can represent your country in the Pitch Vision World Cup if you can get yourself to Canary Wharf for the event. And if you want details about getting there, then get in touch with us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Or you can phone us, what was that number again, Berners?
020-88-167-691.
And there's more information at pitchvision.com/World Cup. That's all we've got time for this week. So until next time, when we'll be back to answering your questions, and fingers crossed we'll be having a little bit more excitement of Gary Palmer. We'll see you next time.